You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 1373.
I honestly believe it's communication with the seller.
Yes.
And this is going to sound a little off the wall, but most of these properties are distressed, which means the people are distressed or going through something, sadly enough. But to have a heart and to be that person that says, I understand, I get it, I'm going to help you through this. This is what the outcome is going to be, and this is what's going to better your life. And I believe that's where when I jump in after you set that foundation and I jump in and I'm the heart that listens and cares. I really do believe it's about caring for that seller and making sure they're okay. At the bottom line, we're going to close the deal, right? Mm-hmm. But this seller, they're walking away from memories. You have no idea what their personal thing is to that home. Mm-hmm. So I do believe it's having the consideration and caring for that seller who's going through what they're going through.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Imagine it is day one of your real estate investing journey, and in your corner is somebody that has done every kind of deal possible. They know all of the paperwork. They know all of the processes. They know how to get it through the finish line. They're there to give you advice. They're there to really help you out because this is maybe your first deal that you've ever done. Maybe this is just a unique deal that you're hoping can get done, but you really need guidance and you're really looking for that mentor to help you. Well, let me tell you this. This mentor is in every single town and city and state around the entire country. And this person is a really, really strong, experienced escrow officer or closing attorney. And I am telling you, this is one of the most powerful people on your team because they make sure that we are freed up to do what we do best, which is find unbelievable deals, unbelievable opportunities. So this podcast conversation is so vital. I don't want you to hear title companies and closing attorneys, and then all of a sudden, you know, your eyes kind of gloss over, your ears gloss over, and you're like, I don't care about this. I just want to be able to find deals. Well, how much more confident are you going to be to go out there and find deals when you know the back end of this deal is going to be taken care of? And that's why it is my pleasure to introduce to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. By the way, my name is Brent Daniels, Mr. TTP, Mr. Talk to People. But it is my pleasure to bring on my escrow officer who has helped us do so many deals, helped us build so many relationships, and the guy that runs the whole show at the title company are both here. It is Dina Schroth and Eric Reichenberger with Pioneer Title. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Brent.
Thanks for having us.
It's the truth, though, Dina, right? I mean, listen, how many transactions do you think you've done in your career?
In my career in 30 years?
Yes.
Gosh, I couldn't even count. Thousands and thousands.
Thousands.
The ones that stick out are the hairy ones.
Right.
Crazy ones.
The tougher ones.
Yes, sir.
So what makes a tough deal from your perspective?
A lot of times we have deceased.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, we have no information on the deceased. We have heirs to the estate that have very little information, but we've got quick claim deeds back and forth, which are uninsurable deeds.
Yeah.
So we have to go find the original grantor, which would be the seller in particular cases, and have them re-sign those deeds. We have judgments on them, unfortunately. Everything you can imagine. Sometimes people don't understand. If my father passes, God forbid, I don't just inherit his home.
Right.
I'm in a community property state. I have to make sure everything is done correctly. And they just go and sign a contract because, well, it's my father. I can sell his house.
Right.
So it's information like that that I find is very necessary to know prior to signing a contract. But they're my favorite ones, to be honest with you, to be able to educate the individuals and the investors to get to the bottom. But
those take a lot of unraveling. I mean, there's what we do, and this is just an example of what we do. We've got a deal on Harvard that we're closing next week that you're working on now. The daughter inherited the property, and we had to go through a probate process.
We did, which couldn't even be a complete probate. It had to be a deed of distribution,
right?
Which means we had to deed it to her as an individual and had her deed it out to the buyers, to yourselves. So yes,
right.
which is a little bit different and a little bit harder.
All right. So we're going to switch back to speaking English in common language here and not lose everybody on the podcast and on the YouTube channel. What do you think makes up, and I'm going to ask you, Eric, and then and Dina, I want to get your perspective. What do you see, what makes up a really good wholesaler? You know what I mean? The people that are in for years, they're making tremendous profits. They're really doing it right. What makes them different than the people that you see come in, they do a deal, and then they disappear?
Really, in my opinion, it's attention to detail and also reputation. Okay. That's from our side what we see, because we get contracts from tons and tons of wholesalers and investors. Most of them, almost all of them are different. Of course, some people start taking others and making them their own.
Yeah.
But a lot of the ones that are the better ones are the wholesalers that are paying attention to detail in their own contracts and making sure as they have their purchase contract and then assign it, that there's not any, I guess you would say, like conflicting language, because we get that at times. And we're going to see a conflicting language in an assignment versus the contract. And that's really makes it our job tough if you're giving us the power to make a determination on earnest money in a dispute.
Right.
That's where we start to really look at and appreciate and make sure that whomever's writing the assignment and or the contract are paying attention to the previous document when they're writing stipulations.
Well, that makes your life easier. But right. Like what?
I'm going to go a different route.
Yeah, go ahead, Dina. Yeah.
Sorry. I honestly believe it's communication with the seller.
Yes.
And this is going to sound a little off the wall, but most of these properties are distressed, which means the people are distressed or going through something, sadly enough. But to have a heart and to be that person that says, I understand, I get it, I'm going to help you through this. This is what the outcome is going to be, and this is what's going to better your life. And I believe that's where when I jump in after you set that foundation and I jump in, and I'm the heart that listens and cares. I really do believe it's about caring for that seller and making sure they're okay. At the bottom line, we're going to close the deal, right? Mm-hmm. But this seller, they're walking away from memories. You have no idea what their personal thing is to that home. Mm-hmm. So I do believe it's having the consideration and caring for that seller who's going through what they're going through.
Well, this is the perfect combination, because part of caring for that seller is making sure that your paperwork is right so that you don't have to keep going back to this person that might be confused about the process, or you might be building a relationship with the seller and you're really guiding them through, okay, this is the expectations, this is the paperwork that I need, this is the documents, this is what needs to happen for you to be able to sell your property. And then us as wholesalers go screw it up because we didn't put together the right verbiage, and we have to do addendums and explain that. And they're like, well, Dean is saying this and you're saying this, and it confuses people,
sure.
Right?
Right.
So I think it is the highest form of customer service by doing it right.
Correct.
And I think that's what you mean by the attention to detail,
right?
But you guys help with that. That's what I've always found is if you're just starting out, you don't know, right? Even if you have, even people in the Rhino tribe that are starting with us, we break down the contracts. We go through it line by line. I show you exactly what's going on, help you really understand it. But until you're in a deal, until that seller wants you to cross something out and initial it or do some sort of changes or an addendum, or there's, you know, they want to stay in the house, so you got to do a post possession. What does that look like?
Yeah.
You guys are really the ones that are organizing. You guys interpret what's on the paperwork. That is the deal. I mean, that's the roadmap to get to the closing, is you guys' interpretation of what's going on there.
Yeah. Correct. 100% correct. Yeah. And that is, again, just circling back to it, that is why that it is important, not only that you guys have your ducks in a row from a contract and legality side, but also, as Dina touched on, she talked about building rapport, but it's also communication.
Yep.
Because the communication, they'll hear from her or us as a company or any escrow officer, attorney during it. But also, we do see some, because going back to your question, what makes a good wholesaler? Mm-hmm. A good wholesaler is the one that doesn't just go completely dark after it's in escrow.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
As so many do.
Why do they do that?
You know, to be honest, I think when you start getting into difficult positions in a contract or in an escrow, I think some of them just don't like the conflict or just don't know how to handle the conflict as well. Like I said, Dina and or any escrow officer that is good and does their job well, attorney, they should be having this, you know, pretty fluid communication with seller, buyer, et cetera.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you were the first person that they met with and signed a contract with, right?
Right.
You're the person who they know and are really looking to trust and did trust because they just signed, as Dina said, their memories away to you, right? Yep. So when that goes dark, which it does happen, that can create a little bit of, it can make escrow and title's job a little bit harder because now we're having to, you know, kind of fan the flames a little bit and saying, hey, everything's still okay. We just need these documents, right?
Yeah, I think people need to understand that even though you guys are doing your job of speaking with the sellers and the buyers and making sure that they're getting all the documentation in, there's still emotions involved here. 100%. There's still questions involved here. And it's not up to you guys to answer those questions. It's up to us to answer those questions for the property owner, because you don't want to step on our toes.
Correct.
You don't want to steamroll us in the relationship. You want to leave that relationship side up to us, but the paperwork and the processing up to you guys, right?
So generally when something happens where a seller asks me a question where I know it's not my place per se to take care of it, I will call the wholesaler and I will tell them, this is what's going on. This is what they're thinking. This is where we're at. Give them a call, you know, like, let's figure this out together. But you are correct. You can't, you got to be careful of what you say and who you say it to, unfortunately.
Yep. Do you like working with investors?
Actually, it's my favorite to work with the investors.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons, the prelim, which I know is not like everyday English, but the properties all have hurdles to jump through. And I enjoy doing those. I find it like a puzzle. I enjoy building the relationship with my investors. They become friends and family.
Yep.
Works as a team. So I
Well, you've helped us sell 3 deals this year by giving us somebody that buys out in the middle of nowhere. One thing that title companies do a great job of is you guys bring everybody together to network, build the relationships, and keep everybody moving forward. If we're doing a bunch of business, you guys are doing a bunch of business. So it's really a partnership. It truly is with the title company. And you provide buyers. I mean, are other wholesalers smart enough to ask you, hey, who do you have that would want this deal?
Honestly, no. Honestly, the first one we did originally was just being friendly with y'all, having a conversation saying we lost our end buyer. And I was like, you know what? I have somebody that loves that area. Let me give them a call. Called on my cell phone while my office phone was in my other ear. And they said, I'll take it down, write the contract.
Yep.
So that was my first time with you guys. And it was pretty amazing. Actually, it was a really good feeling.
Yeah. But we sold a bunch to them now.
Yes, you did. You sold it. And the seller was happy. Everybody was happy. So that worked out really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I would say to piggyback on what you just said, a good title company that wants to have a partnership with their customers is one that's keeping their ears open for deals like that, to where if something falls through or, hey, I just locked up this property, do you know somebody? I get those calls all the time. I know Dina does, but I get them all the time. And I try to, you know, and as you know, we try to network our customers together so they can do deals amongst each other.
Yep.
And it just makes everybody happy. And it makes it just a more easier, cohesive environment when you're dealing with, you know, both sides and the integrity of those people. It's a lot easier to deal with them.
Well, I feel like if I were to put it into an analogy, the title company is like the center of the wheel, right? Mm-hmm. We have all these different spokes going around, but all of it ends up with the title company. So the title company knows who's lending the hard money, right? Who's out there looking for partners to do more deals with,
right?
Not just from a go finding deals, but like actually being the money partner for people that are doing really great things. They're connecting with people that are buying. You guys are giving resources for us for lead generation,
right?
Like all of this is going on. You guys know contractors. You guys know the attorneys. You guys know who to go through with all of these things. It's literally a one-stop shop. And that's why I think this is so important and such a powerful podcast to really get through this whole thing and really find somebody. If at the very basic level, people watching and listening to this just find a great escrow officer or closing attorney, depending on what state you're in, it sets you up for everything so much smoother.
100%.
Because you guys know everybody.
Well, and an experienced escrow officer could always make or break the deal also.
Yes.
Especially with investors.
So let's talk about that. How can you break a deal? How can an escrow officer break a deal?
Saying the wrong thing to the wrong person could kill a deal instantly.
Sure.
Not knowing how to work the file, not knowing how to work the preliminary title report. You got liens and judgments. What are the statutes? What can you take out? What does the underwriter really need to see? How can I get around that? Can I get it in? You know, and definitely there's so many ways to work that file. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the experience to work it, your deal's dead. I mean, I've had other title companies send me their files and say, look, this is a mess. Can you figure it out? And I've closed it only because I enjoy the puzzles.
Sure.
But that could definitely make or break it. Not communicating, you know, making a seller angry is very easy for a seller not to come in and sign that document. They're already nervous. You know, it's a different type of deal. You know, it's just stuff like that, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's important for an investor to ask a escrow officer when they're either calling around and interviewing them, do you handle investor transactions and do you know how to work these type of transactions? Because in all my years in the business, I've worked with a lot of great escrow officers.
Yes.
But not all of them are investor escrow officers, right?
Like most aren't.
Most aren't. Yeah, right. Exactly. And Dina knows how to handle pretty much almost every type of investor transaction there is out there, mm-hmm. where I could point you to another wonderful escrow officer that we have in a company that I've worked with. And you could fire this question at them and they're like, well, I don't even know if this is legal and can we do this, right? They're just more used to the A to B type transactions. That's just more regular real estate, right? And so that's not any knock on that person, but I would say as a word of advice is interview them, ask them if they've handled this transaction. Can your company close it? That's a big piece of it in being able to make or break a deal.
Awesome. Yeah. So, Dina, let me throw out this scenario. Okay. You have to go to Sacramento, California, and you have to find the best escrow officer that understands real estate transactions, creative finance, wholesale, double close, double escrow, the whole thing. How do you find the best escrow officer in Sacramento, California? And it could be any
me as an individual city. Or yes. me as an escrow officer?
No. You as an individual. What would you do?
I would say I would probably go into there and actually have an interview, like you said, and ask for references, to be honest. If it's that serious, I would ask for references and sit down. And I
would throw scenarios.
Well, every title company has a marketing rep. You're going to start there. You're going to call. You're going to say, I want to bring my business. Ding, ding, ding. You have a marketing rep calling you right away.
How do you find marketing reps?
You just call in. I want to bring my business to your company, or I would like to sit with you. Who there does your marketing?
Do you get a referral? Do you just into like a Sacramento Facebook group and say, who's the best escrow
officer? I'm doing the same thing the wholesalers are. I'm blind calling title companies and I'm asking who there is your marketing rep, who there handles investing marketing. And I'm going to sit with them. I'm going to have lunch. I'll even pay for it. I'll have lunch with them, but I'm going to ask some questions. I'm going to shoot over questions to see if the answers are accommodating to what I need.
What would you ask? Give everybody the questions asked. Because there's people that think title, and we talked about this, the only time that a lot of us, especially if we're young or we haven't done a lot of real estate transactions, title is something that you get on your car. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You go down, you have to sign the document and you got to get it stamped and it's a whole thing. And, you know, so I don't know anything about what title companies do. I don't know anything that escrow officers do. I'm listening to this podcast for the first time, and I'm supposed to interview these escrow officers to be a big part of my team, the middle part of my wheel. What do I ask them?
I would start by asking them about double escrows, I think, because they seem to be the most complicated to most escrow officers.
Assignments.
And I would definitely ask them on the double escrows, how they handle it, what they divulge to the seller, what they don't divulge to the seller.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely ask them about assignments, novations.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely creative financing, I would ask them about. And I'd probably throw hard money lenders in there just to see if they had any referrals. Then I would know that they were networking in that same type of business that I'm trying to do. If you could tell me a couple of hard money lenders, you know what I'm talking about at that point.
Yeah.
That's probably how I would go about it.
So you would just say, hey, what are you familiar with doing double escrows? And how do you handle that?
How do you handle your double escrows? What information's divulged to all parties?
What do you know about assignments? What do you know about novations? What do you know about creative finance? What do you know about hard money lenders?
I would probably also start asking other investors in the area too.
Yeah, I was just going to say that if there's like you mentioned a Facebook page, right? Like there's Facebook pages for investors here locally.
That's what I suggest. Nationally. I suggest you post there. Yeah. You ask who's the best escrow officer to work with, and then usually that gets a bunch of responses because there's typically some rep in those groups for some title company that's going to be like, oh, I got the perfect person.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And we even see that locally, you know. But if there's not, if it's a smaller, let's say it's an offshoot outside of Sacramento, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there might not be one for that respective area, and they want somebody for that respective area. then Dina's idea about, you know, calling the office, asking for the marketing rep. Those marketing reps should know who the players are around in their company.
Yep.
So if it's not someone directly in that office, they can say, oh, well, you know, Sally Joe can't do it in our office, but I know Dina can, you know, over in Huntsville County or something like that, right? So that's one that's a good suggestion. But first and foremost, to your point, Facebook groups, I think, are a great place to start.
What happens if it's somebody's mother on there referring their daughter and that daughter doesn't have a clue? She's just got to pay her bills. You know what I mean? So I would rather, I mean, that would be great for a reference. Don't misunderstand. But I would rather go to the meat and potatoes. Like, Eric, who do you have that you know? Because guess what? If I close the deals, I'm making that company money at the end of the day. And we're all working as a team to do that.
Well, that's always the first stop in the interview process. Like, you ask for the reference, you get it from the investor, right? And then you interview that person and ask them, do you know what novations are? Do you know how to do wraps? Do you know how to do, you know, assignments or double escrows? And at that point, so it's not just a one stop. Look, this is a specialty. Like, we're not going to sugarcoat it. Not all escrow officers can do this.
No.
Right? And you asked about how can a deal get killed. Just put a creative financing deal that someone doesn't understand or a deal with assignments that has six, seven, four assignments. Doesn't matter how much it is with just a regular A to B type escrow officer. And they're going to hit a point to where either A, they talk file to file, which they're not supposed to do, or B, they just don't understand it. And they're going to say, we can't handle this transaction. No, you can. It's just that you don't know how.
Right.
And that's the problem. And look, you get to a pride thing. No one wants to admit they don't know how to do something.
Sure.
Most of the time, hopefully that escrow officer, wherever they at, will take the time to reach up to their admin or their senior management and say, can we do this? Okay, we can. How do we go about doing it? Right. And that's what's most important.
Awesome. So they know what they're looking for. Let me act like I'm interviewing you, Dina, and ask you, Dina, you say you work with investors. Can you tell me how you handle a double escrow?
Absolutely. I take the first escrow in, which I like to refer to A to B. And then the second
that's
one.
That's between me and you, the seller.
The seller and yourself.
Yep.
And then we'll call B to C, yourself to your end buyer.
Right.
So we go ahead and a seller only has information pertaining to A and B. We do not give the seller information on B to C. Although we do disclose there is a double escrow, but we don't disclose any sales prices, anything to that nature.
What's the disclosure say?
It just says simply that we are doing a double escrow. The investor is selling the property for a profit.
Do you have to do that?
Yes, you do have to disclose that.
Okay.
You do.
Okay. Do people get mad at that?
No. Oddly enough, no. Most sellers don't care because honestly, your contract already states that. I'm just taking that and I'm putting it on a Pioneer Title Agency's paper.
Yep.
That's really all I'm doing.
Yep.
So it's okay to do that. And then what we do is we sell to you as the buyer on A to B, a hold open policy. So now I'm giving you less expensive fees. And then B to C, we close that one. D's money pays off the other two.
Yeah.
That makes sense if I said that correctly.
C pays off B's.
B and A's, yes.
Yeah. Got it.
Yep.
Awesome.
They're the easy ones.
That's the response that you want when you're asking that question to a escrow officer. So,
You definitely also, as an investor, and I'm sure they're watching, you definitely want to ask for the hold open policies on those because you will pay double escrow and title fees if you do not ask the right questions. I can't tell you how many investors do not know what a hold open policy is.
Let me ask you this. If I didn't know it and I brought it to you, would you automatically do that or would you just get the extra fees and just kind of move on to the next one?
So I would call you and I would say, Brent, this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it. I'm going to email you the calculations of what you're going to pay if I don't provide this to you and I'm going to send it to you what I would pay. And attached is going to be an email with Eric Reichenberg breaking down what a hold open policy is.
Awesome.
That's generally what we do.
Awesome. Good. With some of the creative deals that you see, which ones... There's a lot of, I mean, we can do a lot of deals, right? We can get as creative as we want as real estate entrepreneurs, but which are the ones that you see come across and you're like, you can't do these? You know what I mean?
FHA.
FHA what?
Wraps.
FHA wraps.
Yeah.
You cannot do an FHA wrap. I'm sure there's title companies out there doing that. It's just something we will not participate in. It's not worth the aggravation. And
what's the aggravation come from?
So if you get caught, or at least in the 80s, when you get caught, they can take the property back. Sure. And there's no recourse to seller or buyer. You can't just go and try to pay it off. They're taking that back.
You just lose it.
You lose it. And the other problem is they banned that title company, I think it's for 12 months, to not do any FHA loans at all. So it wouldn't just be me. It would be Pioneer Title itself. Every escrow officer it would affect if right. I did an FHA wrap. And got
so what's an FHA wrap?
So what it is you take the underlying mortgage, which is the mortgage currently on the property.
Let's say it's $150,000.
Take that $150,000. Yep. You call Mr. Buyer and you say, hey, look, I'm at 3%. I'm going to sell you my property, but we're going to leave the mortgage in place. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay me 7% interest. We're just going to throw numbers out there. Okay. And 3% is going to go towards my underline. I'm going to make the difference of the 4%. Mm-hmm. We'll go to a title company. They will in turn make the payments every month after you pay it, pay the taxes, insurance, all that fun stuff, and make the payments. And we'll do this for, I don't know, 30 years, whatever's left on the loan.
Right.
It's just a creative way to do it nowadays.
So why does an FHA like that?
I honestly don't know why.
Is pretty stringent about qualifying their borrowers.
Yes.
You know, and it's government loan, mm-hmm. you know, VA loans, they can be wrapped.
Okay.
On an agreement for sale.
But FHA, they're just, you know, they're really just making sure that everybody is properly qualified. And when you're wrapping it.
Are you talking about like a wrap or sub two? What do you say? Both?
So, you know, it's interesting enough. To us in escrow, it's a wrap. But now that I'm seeing wraps come across my desk, the investors are calling them sub twos. They're really the same thing.
Right.
And I did not even realize that myself because I was getting sub two. Because us in escrow, a sub two is you own the home, you have a mortgage. You say, Dina, buy this house. We're just going to ignore the mortgage at the escrow company and you'll continue making the payment.
Yeah.
That's what it is to escrow. But I'm learning that now they're calling the wraps sub twos.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're talking about. You can't... sub to FHA.
No.
Oh, got it. Well, you guys can, but some title companies can. They're willing to take the risk.
Some of them have been willing to take the risk and some of them have stopped taking the risk just as fast as they've taken it on.
Because they got caught.
Well, I think the question is, before we say that, I think the question is it the title company that's doing the FHA wrap
right.
or is it a specific escrow officer that's within the title company?
Right.
That's closing the file,
yeah.
right? And not disclosing it's an FHA wrap because there's two differences to that, right? Yeah. There's escrow officers that sure. just do it and hope that, hey, I'm going to get this one or two and slide it by. But what they're doing is they're putting that company yeah. and that buyer and seller at great risk. So it's just not all about the escrow title company.
Yep.
It's about buyer and seller because what Dina talked about, they can just come back and take the property.
There's so much to it. And I understand as an escrow officer, you want to close the deal.
Because you're the most creative. You want to do every deal.
I do. I want to have my hands in everything. I want to learn what's new and out there. I enjoy doing all those classes and learning that. But at the end of the day, you have to be realistic. Is it worth my job? Is it worth putting Pioneer Title at risk? Is it worth putting the buyer and seller at risk?
Right.
I mean, there's just so much money in escrows and so many people to meet out there in this world, especially in the investing. Why do it the wrong way?
Yep.
Why not just learn how to do it the right way or be creative and figure out the right way?
Sure. Love it. I love it. How can title companies help us get deals?
That's your job. You're marketing.
Couple different ways. So number one, we kind of touched on before was networking, right?
Yeah.
We try to network our customers all together. Us specifically, we do networking events, happy hours, mixers, et cetera, where we, you know, put names with faces, you mm-hmm. know, talk about what different people do. Two, marketing lists, right? We can help with marketing lists, targeted marketing lists. And those range from everything from properties that are in default to properties that have mortgage lates on them.
So
that
pre-foreclosures.
Pre-foreclosures.
Lates.
Mortgage
lates. They're not even in pre-foreclosure yet.
They're not public record.
Right.
These are recorded with the credit bureaus.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So those properties with a higher likelihood of deferred maintenance. I have a little formula on that I've worked with some wholesalers on to really kind of help increase the likelihood that there'll be deferred maintenance.
Yeah.
So when it comes time to negotiate, the acquisition price is a lot better and it creates a flip opportunity for an end flipper. But really just different types of targeted lists. And you're going to see it, you know, I know you have a big national following. So I'm not saying that every title company can provide this for you. We all provide different things.
Right.
And whoever you're ordering from at the title company might not know the right questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, you have to kind of spur the idea from whoever you're talking with and say,
love it.
Can you do this? And then what else can you provide that can help me as an investor?
Because the more we bring to you guys, the more everybody wins.
Absolutely.
Right. So I got two more things that I think are really important that a lot of people don't realize is if I needed to talk to your guys' in-house attorney, in-house counsel, would I be able to do that?
So the answer to that is yes, now, at least with us. Okay. Yes, now with us. If there's a question you want to talk to our in-house counsel.
I want to go, listen, I've got this purchase agreement that I got from this coaching program. I got from this online. I got this downloaded. I just want to make sure that this works in our state. Seems like it's a national contract. Can I bring this to the attorney and say, hey, listen, can you review this?
Well, see, here's where I would start with that.
Okay.
I would start first with the escrow officer. If you're working with a good escrow officer like Adina Schroth, who sees these different contracts day after day, she's really great. And we have our escrow admin team behind it that will look at these contracts and say, yeah, this looks good. We can close it based off these terms.
Yeah.
You know, they'll also probably ask for, can you provide the assignment if you're going to assign this? So we can take a look at that to see if there's any conflicting language, which we talked about earlier, which is it's usually when you get into assignment number 2 and 3, where that starts all of a sudden, you know, conflicting down the line,
right?
Especially when you get into earnest money disputes. Sure. So starting first with the escrow officer, I don't think, you know, I don't want to lead your listeners and followers down the wrong path. Not every title company is going to make their legal counsel available to them. They just aren't. Most, actually, to be honest, most won't.
Okay.
We at Pioneer Title, we're a little bit different to where we've added a new team member to our in-house legal team. He's a very, very smart gentleman who is open to talking and discussing with the investors if there's a question or a dispute or whatnot.
Yeah.
And having that call. But
yeah, because there's different things, right? Like Arizona passed that you have to disclose that you're wholesaling. So what does that mean? What do I have to disclose? What do I have to do on there? What do I have to put on the paperwork to make sure that everything is approved? And you're saying bring it to the escrow officer first, have them review it, give you advice on what needs to happen on that from a disclosure standpoint.
Correct.
And then if you need to, pass it off to the in-house counsel if it's available.
Correct. Awesome. Absolutely. Yep.
Awesome. Yep. The second one, and I think people really sleep on this one. A lot of us work from home. A lot of us don't have big fancy offices. Mm-hmm. A lot of us don't have conference rooms. A lot of us don't have these things. And when there are a certain segment of property owners that want to meet at an office,
right,
can't they just leverage the title company's conference room?
Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, look, there's what I would say is if a space is available and and customers want to come in and meet, doesn't matter if they're investors, they're two realtors meeting on a deal. If we have the space available, we try to make it work, right? Yeah. As far as like, can you come up and set up shop in the office and whatnot?
Not that. I'm not saying free office space. Yeah. I'm saying
a
very rare occasion.
Yeah.
A seller, the property is burnt down, the property's destroyed, the property, you can't get through it, you can't negotiate, you can't come to an agreement in this house, or, you know, they want to sell you a house that's somewhere else, but they want to meet at an office, whatever it is.
Right.
Nobody wants to drive to this thing, but you want to make a deal. Can you just call up your title company, talk to the front office and just say, hey, listen, I'd like to set aside some time to use your conference room to put together this deal and hand it over to my escrow officer so we can get going.
Absolutely. And I think where you're going with this too is like they not only do they need a place to meet, or do you guys need a place to meet, but two, they also want to know this. Look, this is where when an earnest money is coming in, this is where it's going to be at. This is where it's being held. This is where the closing is going to take place, right? So they're going to see a bricks and mortar, sticks in the ground type operation.
And you guys have fancy offices. You guys have great fancy offices,
you know,
fancy buildings with fancy desks, fancy chairs and tables. And there's somebody there giving you a little mini waters. And, you know, here's some chocolate, some protein.
We hate mini waters.
You know what I mean? Like,
I actually get about 4 to 5 phone calls a day asking if people on your team are real.
Right.
Are they real? Do they close? All of that fun information. One of them actually took your guys' contract over the other one because of the validation we provided to them.
That's the other thing. Yeah. You can leverage the title company's experience and brand and name. If you have somebody that really knows what they're doing, and the seller doesn't, they trust us, but they don't know us.
Correct. Right.
But they're like, okay, this is going to be a third party. This looks like a big company. I'm going to make sure that I verify everything with them. Then all of a sudden it's like bulletproof. You're like, they feel so much better about the decision that they're making.
I actually would prefer that because it gives the escrow officer the chance to meet the seller. Hey, what's going on in the property? You know, ask all the right questions, get all that upfront information.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer that, honestly. That's what we should look into.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely important that all parties feel comfortable with the transaction, right? Not just the buyer, but the seller as well. And so if that means they come in and meet at the title company, mm-hmm. our doors are always open for that, you know, and I think it's important.
Yeah, and listen, I've had several deals where it's, you know, exactly like you're describing. Well, I don't, you know, I see your guys' commercials. I see these type of things. Do you guys really, you know, buy houses? Do you guys really close? And then they talk to Dina. Dina's like, yeah, these guys are the best. Now we're moving forward. And anybody can do that. Once you start building a relationship with your title company, anybody can do that. So leverage their reputation in the marketplace.
Reputation is huge.
Right?
Reputation is huge.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And it just, it makes everything go smoother when we know that we can turn it over to Dina. Dina's going to sink her teeth into this transaction, know everything about it, and make sure that the buyers aren't, you know, really dragging their feet. That's the other side. We've talked a lot about the seller side, but the buyer side is a whole nother bag of tricks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a whole nother responsibility, especially if you assign it to somebody and then they assign it to somebody and then they assign it to somebody and then blah, 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 blah. You're chasing everybody down, making sure it gets closed.
You are. You mm-hmm. definitely are. But the good news is it's communication. I mean, at the end of the day, I can call you. I can call anybody on the team and say, hey, this is my issue. This is what's going on. I need help.
Yep.
Help me track these people down.
Yep.
And it honestly, it works. Yep. It works. It's a team effort. Most of these deals or all these deals, they're a team effort. It's everybody working together.
Yeah.
Right.
Awesome. We'll give some final thoughts. By the way, guys, if you are in Arizona and you're not doing business with Pioneer Title, you're making a huge mistake. So make sure I will share Dina with you because she's the absolute best and I love you all. And I want you guys to go out and find more deals. And you can find a lot more deals if you've got Dina making sure that your transactions get closed. So Dina, how can people get a hold of you and connect with you? Not only, and I want to invite everybody, and I'm just doing this on your behalf so you can shut me down if you want, but everybody in Arizona, obviously, that's doing business. But maybe there's some escrow officers and title companies in other states or closing attorneys that they get the process. They just don't really get the process. They need somebody to mentor them a little bit. Would you be willing to help some other title companies out in other states, just escrow officers that maybe have tricky deals?
Absolutely. My phone's always on.
Yeah.
I always tell everybody, call my cell phone. Mm-hmm. It's after hours. It's weekends. You guys are at the tables when I'm done work. You know, you're meeting the customers after their job.
Sure.
So I always tell everybody, just give me a call on my cell phone and we'll figure out, or a quick text.
Great. So,
and can I say my number?
You can.
Okay. It's 480-287-4412.
One more time.
480-287-4412. Awesome. And I will be at the Kierland office of Pioneer Title.
Awesome.
And by the way, that is very rare that an escrow officer provides a cell phone number.
Oh, I know.
To where you can contact them after hours or on the weekend if you're writing up a contract. And that's, you asked, how can escrow make wholesaler's life or an investor's life a lot easier? That right there, someone who's accessible and communicates.
Well, how often are you texting with Jeremy or Jackie or my team, like after 7 p.m.?
Constantly. The reason is, though, it makes you all think I'm just being nice, but it is selfish, too, because it makes my life a little easier. I've gotten phone calls. Hey, I'm at the table and we have a power of attorney. Can it be used before I sign this contract? It's so much easier to do it right from the beginning mm-hmm. than it is for me to unravel it and do it. And I think that makes the seller feel a little nervous when I say, okay, this is wrong. We have to redo it this way. So it's just much easier. And to be honest with you, if I'm not picking up my phone, another escrow officer just may.
Yeah.
So selfishly, I do that.
Love it. Eric, give advice to anybody that's starting out and they're looking to get their first deal.
As a wholesaler?
Yep.
As a wholesaler, I would say, one, get a good mentor like you. Right.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, a mentorship is huge in understanding the front part of it, the contracts. Two, get a good contract. Get with your title company. Make sure your contract, if you were to write it as it is right now and submit it to Dina, that it's going to, you know, fly and be acceptable. Because the worst thing you can do is have a contract, put it all together, you send it to Pioneer or any title company, and they can't close the deal for you. So that's important. Three, I would say reach out to a marketing person, right? That's experienced mm-hmm. in working with investors. Because again, just like it's a specialty with escrow, it's a specialty in sales. So knowing how to identify the lists that are important to you guys so you can go and, you know, acquire properties, that's another, you know, big help and step that I would recommend to a wholesaler.
Awesome. Dina, somebody going out, getting their first deal, what advice would you give them?
Patience. Mm-hmm. Have patience. If you don't know the answer to the questions, don't lie.
Yeah.
Say, I don't know it, and call somebody and get the right information.
Love it.
And definitely probably call you or Jeremy to comp it, because on my personal deals, I have Jeremy comp.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say, give them a call to comp it.
I love it. I love it. That's right. Yeah. We call it truth telling and truth seeking, right? We're truth tellers, truth seekers. We're deal finders, not deal creators. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really, really important. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean we can't be creative. It just means that you're not going to convince somebody to sell their property under creative terms or as a wholesale deal if they don't want to sell their property.
Right.
And so our job is to be in the position to find the people that want to sell their properties and serve them the best that we can. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that is make sure you have a really awesome escrow officer like Dita. You're the best.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love you. You're the best.
Well, I love you guys and your team for sure.
Awesome. And that's it, guys. Any questions? If you are watching this on YouTube, I want to see them in the comments. I make videos to respond to those. So if you do have any questions, whether it be about title and escrow or anything about the wholesaling process, make sure that you ask them in the comments section. I don't want you to have any unanswered questions that give you an excuse from stopping you from taking massive imperfect action. And that's it. That is our show. If you're interested in joining the most proactive group in real estate investing, it is the Rhino Tribe. Go to wholesalinginc.com. Check out what it's all about. Check out all the testimonials, all the incredible people doing incredible deals around the country. And if it feels good in your gut, sign up for a call. And that is it. I end this podcast as I always do, encouraging you to go out there and talk to people. Till next time. Love you guys. See ya.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.